Good morning, church. Thank you for taking this time to be part of this worship. It's always a joy to come together as one body of God, to worship God and also to experience Him. You know, the song's a powerful reminder, right? Reminder of who God is. God is still sovereign and His presence is always felt during these times and every moment of our life. Let me start by saying thank you to each and every one of you for your prayers, for your continued prayers for the church. You know, you have been reaching brothers and sisters of the church, you know, and we thank you for the wonderful ministry that you are involved. And many of you have been involved in the community initiative during this important moment. May God continue to bless you, and let's continue to do the things that God wants us to be found doing. And let me welcome those who are joining us through this online platform. Thank you for taking time to be part of this worship too. I would invite you to visit our church website to know about who we are and the ways that you can be part of this church family. Today, I want to look at the theme called Living the Lord's Way. Living the Lord's Way. And the passage that was just read to us is Mark chapter 1. Verses 35 to 45, living the Lord's way. Let's pray and ask God to help us as we dive into Scripture and to draw strength from God's Word, because God's Word is so powerful and God's Word is so active. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time that we can gather as a church. We thank you, Lord, for the people who have been visiting us, God, through this media. We pray that it will be a wonderful and a blessed moment, O God, to know about you, and that we will draw much more closer to you and experience your love, your grace, and your presence in a very special and powerful way. In Jesus' most wonderful name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, the place that we live, you know, a couple of miles away from my home, there are beautiful farms. You know, my family, we love to drive around and just to enjoy the scenic place. I came across about a story that took place in a farm. In the farm, what happens, I think the entire family is involved to care for the plantation. On this particular day, the husband and wife were working on the field. The husband realized, you know, someone needs to drive the tractor. And so he called his wife. He said, you know, I wanted to work on something else. Can you help to drive this tractor? No, the wife was inexperienced and she said, I do not know. And he said, you know, I'll show you how to do it. So she hopped into the tractor and he said, look across, you know, and look at something in front of a wave right at the end and drive straight. And she said, sure, I'll do that. And so she placed a gear and she started driving the tractor. She was so excited. And then after a while, she realized, you know, that the husband was just running across alongside and was trying to get an attention. And she stopped immediately and she said, no, what's wrong? And she looked at him and said, what's wrong? And he said, you know, just look behind. When she started looking behind, you know, she saw that the path that she took was so crooked and it was not straight. And the husband explained to her and said, he said, you know, you need to look at an object in front of you and drive towards it. She said, I did. That was what I did. And then the husband asked a question, what are you driving towards? And she pointed to an object and said, you know, can you see that? That object, I was just trying to follow that object. And at that moment, she realized that it was a bird that she had been following. And that bird had been hopping across the ground. And she had been trying to follow the bird. And that's why she took a crooked journey. You know, the mark set by the world today is ever shifting. Today, many, you know, follow people, celebrities, right, through Instagram and also through other social media. Initially, we are so excited about, you know, who we are following. But along the way, we get frustrated, right, with the values they embrace, the decisions they take, and even sometimes the unacceptable lifestyle. You know, in the midst of this ever-changing world and circumstances that we live in, you know, it is a real comfort for us to know that we have a God whose love doesn't change us and is so steadfast, is never changing. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, he says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." What a wonderful and a powerful reminder. The passage that we want to look today is Mark chapter 1, 35 to 45. You know, when you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus Christ did not just come preaching, right? He did not just tell us how to live a life, but he showed us the way. He was a great example, right? He was a great model. Today, many millions of people are just following the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why if you read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the writer of Hebrews have encouraged believers, and he's encouraging you and I today to run the race of faith with endurance. And he says, looking to Jesus, he says, look at Jesus, right? He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. We want to focus on Christ. And today you and I want to run this life with faith and confidence in God. On the same note, when we take our eyes away from him, our circumstances and situations in life are sure to weigh us down. So I would encourage you to take some time, right? Not to look at our situations, but to look at Christ, as the author of Hebrews says, to look at Christ, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's turn to the text that was just read, Mark chapter 1, 35 to 45. And the theme is living the Lord's way. Just to give you a background on what was happening, you know, if you read the passage, you realize, you know, Jesus had a full day, a couple of verses before the passage, when verses 32 onwards, let me read, it says, that evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. So people were just flocking around Jesus. The whole town gathered to watch, and that's the way we read the passage. In verse 34, it says, Jesus healed many people. Many who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Can you imagine? Jesus was very much involved in the lives of people. He had a busy day, and he was just ministering to people. Not only he was preaching, he was engaging with each and everyone on a very personal level, healing the sick, casting out demons. What a tiring day. Can you imagine the entire town coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? But the passage that was just read to us today, you know, it starts by saying, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark. After a full day work, the next day, you know, Jesus could have said, you know, it was a tiring day. Let me take some time. Let me rest for a while. Let me get up late. But it says very clearly, Jesus, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Can you imagine? Right? Mark records that very early in the morning, before it was daylight, Jesus went out into the mountain side, a desolate place where he wanted to be alone, and he prayed. What a powerful lesson that we want to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. He was leading by example. The first thing, when you look at this passage, we are reminded and we are called to remember his prayer. We are called to remember his prayer. After an extremely busy day in Capernaum, you know, Jesus got up early in the morning to spend time with the Father. He found a quiet, isolated spot where he could receive guidance from his Father. And the passage also tells us the disciples knew exactly where Jesus would be. And they knew that Jesus would be alone spending time with the Father. You know, when I look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly his prayer life, his time with the Lord, you know, Jesus was very intentional about his prayer life. You know why? Because he loved God. He wanted to have that sweet, loving relationship with God. The Word of God says, you know, very early in the morning, it could be around 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. Can you imagine? 3 a.m. to 4 a.m., just the night before, you know, what was happening? He was so exhausted. But even then, Jesus was very intentional. He went to a quiet place. He made the effort to get up early in the morning. Right? He made the effort to be alone because it was a priority. He wanted to build his day fellowshipping with God because that was what he longed and that was his desire. When you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll see Jesus is always seen praying. Before his baptism, in Luke, you read, you know, Jesus was found praying. Before calling the 12 disciples, he's praying. Before feeding that 5,000 people, Jesus is found praying, right? Before he raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus is praying. In the upper room, he's praying. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying. Hanging on the cross for you and me, my friend, Jesus is praying. When you look at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, 10% of the Sermon on the Mount speaks about prayer. John 17 is a powerful reminder about the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at the Word of God, you know, very carefully, the disciples came and asked Jesus something. And they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Because they were inspired by the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second reason Jesus is found praying, because he wanted to know the will of God in order that he will accomplish God's purpose in every way and be found obedient in the sight of God, my friend. Now, what a powerful encouragement for each and every one of us today, right? That we are called to spend time with God. As Jesus was sustained and strengthened through his prayer life, today you and I have to find ways to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are living in a world, and it's a very busy world, and many a times we are caught up in a very noisy and the demands of the daily life is so great. And so many times what happens, neglecting times of solitude, individual worship and prayer. So it's important for us to find ways to pray. I was reading a story about a young girl. A little girl came to the mother and said, Mom, I suppose up in heaven they think I'm dead. And the mother replied, Why? Why do you suppose they think you're dead? And the little girl said, Because I've not said my prayers for a week. Because heaven has not heard my voice. They might think that I'm dead. I'm no more. Today, my friend, I think the question that before us is, are we really intentional about our time with God? Do we set a time and say, Lord, I want to meet you. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to pray. I want to read the word of yours, O God. And this is important. And is it a daily routine for you and I, my friend? The prayer was important in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He drew strength in having a relationship with God. Let's look at the word. Let's continue to look at the passage and see the lessons that we can learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, while he was praying in verse 36 and 37, you realize what's happening. You know, Simon and his companions went to look for him. They were just searching for Jesus Christ, right? And in verse 37, it says, when they found him, they exclaimed and said, "Everyone is looking for you." You know, I was just trying to imagine, you know, Peter is so excited because last night they had a powerful ministry. And today he's saying, "Lord, let's continue. This ministry is going well. It was so awesome. You know, the people love you. You know, you are becoming much more popular. Let's go back. Let's build some momentum. Let's start a movement. Let's change the world. That's an opportunity." Can you see the excitement in Peter and some of the disciples who are just coming along with him and just calling? But what was the reply of the Lord Jesus Christ? In verse 38, if you read, it says, Jesus replied. It says, Jesus said, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Jesus, you know, could have said, "Yes, it's so wonderful, Simon. Let's stay here." But he said, "Let's go somewhere else, to the nearby villages or even towns, right? And this is the reason I've come." In verse 39, he says, so he traveled throughout Galilee, proclaiming, right, and preaching in the synagogue and driving out demons. Jesus knew his purpose well, my friend. Jesus was not really interested in attracting the crowds or even making a name. He was doing what God wanted him to do. It's about faithfulness. It's not about popularity. It's not about fame. It was doing the will of God to be found obedient. Jesus refused the demands to go back to Capernaum. He turns down the invitation. I believe Simon Peter and also the disciples had a bigger plan, right? And their plan was according to the needs of the people. Dear friends, it's not wrong to meet the needs of the people, but I think we need to meet the need of people according to God's plan, according to God's purposes. And Jesus knew the plan of God. You know why? Because he spent time praying. He spent time fellowshipping with God. He spent time with the Lord, and he began to understand where God was leading him. And look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when you read Luke chapter 19, verse 10. You know, the Lord was very clear. He said, you know, that I came to seek and to save the lost. He was aware of his purpose. Right, even at his young age, in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, you read, and he was intentionally set to fulfill God's plan. Jesus did not wait for the people, but he went. He just went to villages, towns, to synagogues, right, reaching out to people, preaching God's word, because that was God's plan for his life. And he knew that people need to be reconciled with God. And he gave his life for you and I, my friend. Now, many a times we say, you know, when it comes to spiritual issues, or, you know we need to go back to scripture. But when we look at our lives, there are many things where we don't go back, right? But when you go back to scripture, when you look at God's word for guidance, let me tell you, the Lord will show you the direction in which you are to move. Even in your daily decisions, the Lord knows where and what we need to be found doing. He will reveal not only his purposes, but his timings, even his methods, my friend. He will provide all the needed information that we need to take the next steps wisely. You know, Psalm 23 is a powerful reminder. David is saying about, you know, the difficult moment that he was going through. In verse 4, he says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." You know why? He says, "Lord, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." He knew that God is comforting him at every stage of his life. And Jesus also said, "I'm with you always, till the end of the age." Lastly, when you look at the passage, I think we are called to remember the passion, his passion. What was the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, Jesus was preaching, going around, and in verse 40, if you read it, it says, a man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. And he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean. In verse 41, it says, Jesus was moved with compassion. And he says, Jesus reached out and touched him. He said, I'm willing, and be healed. Now, many of us will probably have never seen a person with leprosy. It's a horrible skin disease that literally eats away parts of your body, right, if you're infected. And people were infected with leprosy, you know, you will see their hands and their feet totally disappearing. And finally, they are dead and gone. In a culture where Jesus was, in a time and culture that Jesus was living, you know, the people with the lepers were seen as outcasts. They were also living outside the city. When they came around that particular city area, they will always shout, unclean, unclean, so that people will be aware and people will move away. I'm just trying to imagine when this man was coming to Jesus, probably the disciples and many others would have actually left Jesus because you're not supposed to go near a leper. But Jesus was there. He was there with the leper. And it says Jesus was moved with compassion. It was not pity. He had compassion on the man. He was moved with tears emotionally. Right? He was able to understand what was happening in the life of this leper. Jesus didn't just identify with the man. His feelings moved to action. That is compassion. Look at the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? He looks at the leper. He touches the leper. You're not supposed to touch. And he touched the leper. That's love, my friend. And he says, be healed. And this is the love of Jesus Christ. Each and every person was very special in the sight of God. The person was seen as outcast, was driven away from the city. You know, the Lord wanted to reach each and every person because that's God's love. God's love is so powerful that he gave his life for you and me, my friend, on the cross. We live in a time when where people need that love. They need to experience that love. Last week, we were looking at the early church and we realized, you know, even during the time of a pandemic that was happening during their time, you know, they saw it as an opportunity. They did not see it as an interruption, but it was an opportunity for them to reflect the love of Christ to people who needed it. Today, you and I, my friend, have that opportunity. Yes, the pandemic has created a lot of interruptions in the lives of many people in cities. On the same note, I think it has given us opportunities, right, where we can show God's compassion and care for people who need them. In closing, let me, you know, ask you today to reflect on this, you know, how do I balance activity and solitude? Because we live in a very busy world. There are so many things happening in our lives. Sometimes people say we are fighting for time. How can we balance activity with solitude? What steps we have taken, right, to have a more balanced life where then we have time for God, to hear his voice, to have fellowship, to drive strength from God's word? Jesus knew the priorities in his life. And he knew that God is a wonderful shepherd. Let me conclude by sharing a story that I read. It was a real story that I read by Charles Shelton. Charles Shelton wrote a book. It was a classic in 1898. And the title of the book was In His Steps. What would Jesus do? You know, in the story, you know, Charles Shelton tells a story of a pastor and his congregation. they were committed to following the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. In every situation, they were told to ask this question. And the question was, what would Jesus do? So he challenged the congregation and said, in every situation, whatever situations you are in, you know, ask this question, what would Jesus do? You know, each and every member of the congregation started doing it. And they realized, you know, they were becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we are faced with a lot of things that's happening in our life. I would challenge you to ask the same question. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do when you are wanting to make a decision? When you're thinking about your career? What would Jesus do when you are, you know, thinking about the next steps in your life? What would Jesus do? When we ask that question, you know, the Lord will continue to speak to us through His Spirit, my friend, to guide us and to make us to do and to make the right decision for our life. And so today, Jesus should be our goal. We should be looking at Him, as the author of Hebrews says, let's look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Where are we looking today? Where are we looking? Are we looking at Jesus? Can we boldly say that I'm a faithful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me challenge you to look at Jesus. And the Lord will bring joy and peace in our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your life. We thank you, Lord, that you're so wonderful. Father, we pray, God, help us to follow your footsteps, O God. Lord, help us, O Lord, to make time to meet you, Father, to be intentional about our walk with you. Help us, O Lord, to know your purposes, not our plans alone, but your purposes. Because your purposes for our lives are the best, Father. Lord, and help us, O Lord, to have the passion to see the way Jesus would see our friends, our neighbors, our world today. Because we know, Lord, that you have a purpose for our lives. And help us to fulfill that purpose. We thank you, Lord, because you are with us in our journey. We thank you, Lord, because you have said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And your presence is always felt. In Jesus' most wonderful name we pray. Amen.